Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to this, the April 10th, 2024 edition of the Healing Sound Show. I am Jonathan Goldman, and I am with my delightful wife and partner, Andy Goldman. Hi, Andy.
Hello, Jonathan. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so excited about our guest, Dr. Eric Leskowitz, and I can't wait to tell our audience about him. So I'd like to read his bio to start with.
All right.
How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Before we bring him on. So, Eric Leskowitz, MD, also known as Rick, is a retired Harvard Medical School affiliated psychiatrist who practiced pain management for more than 25 years at Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital in Boston. He has published more than 50 articles in peer-reviewed scientific journals and is the author, editor of 4 books. Rick is a longtime meditator, and he has studied energy healing for many years with Reverend Rosalind Bray, and he received advanced training in clinical hypnosis. Dr. Leskowitz has lectured and presented workshops regionally, nationally, and internationally, most often with the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology, which awarded him their Service Award in 2021. His documentary film on group energies in sports, The Joy of Socks, was broadcast nationally on PBS in 2012. He has a long-standing interest in earth energies and global consciousness, and his newest book, The Mystery of Life Energy, has recently been released just a few days ago, and it is such an honor and a joy, Rick, to welcome you to our Healing Sounds show.
Welcome, Rick.
Well, thank you, guys. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here with you to see what kind of conversation emerges. I'm really looking forward to connecting and reconnecting.
We are honored. In full disclosure, we first met you close to a year ago at the Energy Psychology Conference, and we just had this immediate, if you like, rapport. And then as we communicated a little bit back and forth, I found out that you were working on this book, and we recently received an advanced copy, and it's really, as objectively as I can say it, it's brilliant. It's so comprehensive in terms of the field of energy medicine and your journey in it. And there's stuff in it that I want to talk about that I have not seen in other places that I personally know about. I'm going, wow, this is in here. Wow, this is in here. I love it. So thank you for writing that book.
And I want to ditto what Jonathan just said, because I have absolutely loved it. And as a psychotherapist myself, I am just absorbing every single page because it's filled with information that those of us who are in the energy medicine, energy psychology field really want to know if we don't already know.
So it's called the Mystery of Life Energy, and we are about to talk to the mysterious, or not so mysterious, Rick Leskowitz. Hey, Rick, tell us how you got started in this field. How did you get into psychiatry? You went to Harvard, by gosh.
Well, I don't really know where to begin. You know, when you trace back evolution, this wasn't like I didn't have one, you know, lightning bolt that woke me up. But, and it's ironic because I started off, I was good in science. My dad was a research scientist. And so I was really into analyzing in the scientific method and figuring that you could understand everything that way. And I was a good student, so I did well and went to college and was pre-med and all that. But I wasn't really psyched about going to medical school yet. So I took some time off because my roommate's girlfriend had done that. And it was the best thing I did because I sort of got off the treadmill and broke the spell, if you will, and did some traveling. I bicycled in Europe and spent time in a kibbutz and met my wife there, and we traveled overland to India, and it was really wonderful. But, you know, when I came back to start medical school, it was a huge culture shock. But fortunately, I wasn't totally absorbed into the, I don't want to call it brainwashing, but it's pretty close to that because you get one particular point of view and that's all that's allowed. So I had actually learned meditation, TM, just before starting medical school. And I loved it, just the feeling that you could influence your own state of consciousness. So this was in like the mid-1970s. So after every lecture, I would say to the professor, you know, what effect would meditation have on this disease? And it was actually a stupid question because nobody knew anything. There had been like two studies done in the whole literature. And now it's very different. I mean, there's literally thousands of studies. And ironically, a lot of them were generated at my medical school. I went to University of Massachusetts, which is where Jon Kabat-Zinn has been all these years. And he was just getting started. It was like a lunchtime hobby that he was sharing with people before he got professional about it. So anyway, that was like the beginning of it. And I got very interested in the mind and the body and stress and all that. So that's why psychiatry made sense to me. This was before medications was the be-all and end-all of psychiatry. So we actually talked to patients and, you know, interacted with them. And so it was good, but it wasn't the whole picture. After my training, my first job was at a VA clinic, post-traumatic stress disorder, and we really didn't know what we were doing. You know, we had the veterans talk about their experience, and it just re-triggered everything and traumatized everybody. We've come a long way since then, but one of my colleagues invited me to a lecture on healing, which I actually didn't want to go to because to me that meant, you know, laying on of hands and Jesus and things like that. And I was, you know, secular Jewish, and it just did not resonate at all. But this woman was phenomenal. He said she's a healer who works with the doctor physician community in Los Angeles, and it was Rosalind Breyer, and she could literally speak two languages. And I realized that she understood what was going on beneath the surface of all the stuff that the doctors were looking at. And in medical school, it was very frustrating because every other disease, they called it idiopathic, which is a fancy sounding word, meaning we don't know what the heck is going on. It's the same root word as idiot. So, you know, they're admitting that they didn't know what was going on, but Rosalind did. She understood the energy dynamics that set up the physical changes that became diseases. So I was hooked. Fortunately, she came back east from California twice a year for 5-day retreats, and I went for 5, 6, 7 years. I don't really remember, but it was total immersion and just wonderful and transformative. So since then, I've always been, you know, looking at two tracks and what's the energetics of anything that we can see physically. So I ended up getting a job at Spalding Rehab Hospital in pain management. They were chronic pain patients where, you know, the medications and the injections and the nerve blocks and everything didn't work. So we tried other things, include not just exercise and, you know, common sense things like that, but started with mind-body approaches like meditation and biofeedback. But also we began to introduce things like energy-based, like acupuncture and like therapeutic touch and laying on of hands now. And it really made a big difference. So that was really what I focused my career on, working with them and writing about what's going on and how this could happen. Because a lot of what what I experienced and we experienced just didn't fit the paradigm, as they call it, you know, the conceptual model. So I don't know, I could talk about this one particular clinical situation, phantom limb pain, that I got very interested in because, you know, excuse me, people probably know that after an amputation, people, the patients can commonly feel as though the limb is still there, and sometimes it's very painful and nothing makes it go away. And the usual explanation is that your brain is rewiring and sending out memory messages and making you think that there's something out there. But I was doing these energy balancing treatments. It's kind of the common thing where you put your hands, palms facing each other to feel, you can often feel a sense of resistance or pressure. And you can do that to smooth out the biofield, as they call it, of the patients. So I was doing this with one guy who was missing a leg, part of a leg. And for some reason, you know, I could feel his upper body fine. For some reason, I kept doing that even down to where his leg was missing. And I felt the same, exact same pressure sensation, even when there was no, there was no leg there. And he could feel me touching his phantom. So it wasn't, you know, there's something out there. That was the message, that there is something in space that's invisible to the eye, but there are ways of feeling it. And that's what's known as the biofield. And that's what a lot of research over the last 20, 30 years is exploring what is the nature of the biofield and can we measure it and what's the clinical effect. And the thing I got interested in is what happens when biofields interact, not just when two people connect, like, you know, when a couple is relating or doctor-patient connection, the biofields build on each other. You know, the sense of personal space, you can feel when somebody is coming into your space. I think that there literally is an electromagnetic field around people that we can sense. And when somebody comes up against it, you sense it, you feel it, you detect it. And so I got very interested in group energies, especially large group energies, because in addition to being a science nerd growing up, I was also a sports fan, and I grew up in the Boston area. And it sort of goes with the territory that everybody is nuts about sports. And it happened to be that our baseball team, the Boston Red Sox, had never won a World Series for, what was it, like 86 years. And then it's 20 years ago now. They finally won. And it was such an eruption of positive emotions across all of New England. I like to say it was the best antidepressant I had ever come across. But there was something about the group energies that really got me intrigued. And, you know, not just watching from home, but at the ballpark, the way the players interacted. And so, you know, I wrote an op-ed in the Boston Globe about some of the energetic, because the following year the team wasn't doing that well, so I wrote an op-ed saying, can weird science save the Sox, thinking that maybe we could do some energetic stuff. And, you know, I thought, well, that was fun. What's next? But my cousin, who's a filmmaker, actually went ahead and called the front office of the Red Sox and said, did you guys read the op-ed yesterday? I said, yes. And he said to them, well, we're filming a documentary about it, and we'd like to come to Fenway Park. And they said yes. So he called me, and he said, what are you doing Saturday? And I said, I don't know. He said, we're filming our documentary. And I said, what documentary? Because he hadn't even told me about it. Everything just fell into place, and we got to interview players about what it feels like when thousands of people are cheering for you or booing at you. We got to do some measurements of group interactions in the field, in the ballpark, and in the laboratory, and just ways of demonstrating that these biofield interactions are real, and it's a kind of resonance. And, you know, to get into the sort of musical language that you guys work with so much, in so many ways, people are like tuning forks, and we can, you know, vibrate even if we're not physically touching, and, you know, across the room or across the stadium. And it depends what note you know, we're set at to vibrate. And, you know, it's obviously fun if you have a enjoyable experience, but you can have large crowds resonating to anger and hatred. And, you know, we see this in our current world. But we did some measurements. Actually, it's like the measurements that you folks do on your World Sound Healing Day, where I don't think anybody can explain why these things actually detect what they detect, but there are, well, I'll do a quick, see if I can describe it, if not explain it, but it turns out that random events can be influenced by the human mind. And it's just like there was a Hollywood movie maybe 20 years ago, I forget, with William H. Macy called The Cooler, in which he was a sad sack kind of guy who brought bad luck with him wherever he went.
Las Vegas?
And, what's that?
Did they bring him to Las Vegas?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. He was hired by one of the casinos to put the hex on it, so that whenever somebody was going on a hot streak, he would be called over to just stand next to them. He didn't have to do anything, but his bad vibes cooled them out and broke the winning spell. So the movie's great. I mean, he falls in love with one of the cocktail waitresses and loses his jinx ability because he's happy now. But the idea that throwing a dice could be affected by what people think and feel sounds like, you know, a delusion. But thanks to the work of a department in Princeton University, so it's a, you know, pretty reputable institution, they did measurements, not with the dice itself, but other random systems, and found that people can sit and meditate and shift the behavior of physical objects. And they ended up getting a computerized system that it's basically like flipping a coin, you know, with the ones and zeros that a computer generates, but it does it like, I forget, like it's 1,000 times a second or something like that. And, you know, normally you'd have a few fluctuations, but not much. If somebody is influencing it, then you get these big spikes and dips. And that's what these random numbers generate. And they measure them. They can measure right there sitting in front of them or even at a distance. And that's what your World Sound Healing does, because they have these computers set up in like 50 or 60 labs around the world. And they're basically running continuously to see how world events affect the computers. And on occasions like the World Sound Healing Day, things come together in a kind of global coherence that can actually affect computers. So it's like it's like science fiction, but it's been replicated enough now that we know it's real. And you guys had, I forget, there was a couple of hundred different sites where people were doing it. So it sets up a very powerful group resonance, and it's really a great example of the whole kind of global consciousness that I think we have to evolve into in order to get past this current crisis mode where everything seems to be falling apart or at loggerheads. And I think this is the way to go. So that's been sort of the application of this. It's one big biofield rather than just one person with a biofield.
I think that we may, as we continue to evolve, see that this concept of using energy medicine is going to really get into energy medicine for the planet, so that we can basically somehow restore balance to a place that is wonderful and beautiful and getting continuously more out of balance by people. So I really want to thank you for that. A gazillion things are going through my mind right now in terms of what we've been talking about. One of them was back in the 1980s, I was at a wonderful medical conference in Washington, D.C., called Healing in Our Times. And there were a number of medical doctors and spiritual healers. And I forget who it was. It wasn't Dolores Krieger, but somebody equally well-known, a medical doctor, a woman. And she said that she hoped at some point that there would be part of an exam for medical school, whether it's curling and photography or something else, so that you could measure the healing ability of the person who was basically going to be going to med school, because she had found that there were certain people who were almost anti-healers. And on their shifts, for example, in the hospital, a lot more people would pass away, and they were people who were troubled because they You may have that in the book, and I might have missed it. I don't know.
No, I don't. And that's a really wonderful view of the future, because some people do have a healing presence, and some people don't. And my sense is that the way medicine has evolved towards focus on, you know, prescribing something in a 10-minute visit, it cuts off the interaction, it cuts off the connection, and doesn't value healers as much as just technicians. Or, I mean, it's not there yet, but it's almost like artificial intelligence could just, you know, run through a questionnaire and prescribe something, and doesn't even have to have an interaction. I was just looking for somewhere in the I can't find it in the book, but I've given a lot of lectures to people at different stages in their medical career, from high school students who are interested in it to pre-meds to medical students to, you know, trainees and beyond. And I always include this demonstration of, can you feel, you know, something between your hands? And what, and then I ask the audience, you know, how many could feel something? Just kind of rough estimate of what percentage. And, you know, at the high school students, it's like 80, 90% can feel it. And as their training progresses, the percentage goes down and down and down. And it's really sad, actually. It just shows, it's a example of how they get tuned out to their whole body. They're all up here. They're all in their heads, and they've lost the connection to their body, which I think is where the healing could come from. So that's the point that you make, that this woman was making 30, 40 years ago.
And I was just quoting your study to a friend of mine yesterday, because I thought it was a fascinating, fascinating aspect of how, as you were saying, the more, if you like, locked into a particular system of healing, people get, the less, the more tunnel vision or energy constraints occur. Listen, we have got to go to a break right now.
But I would love to give out your website, Rick, and that is themysteryoflifeenergy.com, because I know folks are going to want to find out more information, and that's a great website. And we will be back very shortly with Dr. Rick Leskovitz.
I'm Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman.
It's the Healing Sound Show, and we'll be back in a moment, folks. See you soon. Experience the power of vibroacoustic sound therapy with the new vibro-tuners from me, Jonathan Goldman. When applied to the body, this set of tuning forks creates deeply resonant harmonic frequencies that bring healthy vibrations to your cells. You'll experience a sonic massage that is soothing and healing. Try the vibro-tuners from HealingSounds.com.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, "It is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness." You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have seven chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
You're listening to CHSR, Real Radio on the Web.
And we are back here, the Healing Sound Show, April 10th, 2024, with our fabulous Dr. Rick Leskowitz. And Andy, you want to ask Rick a question?
I would love to, because Rick, you have had so much experience, and your work with energy medicine and energy psychology is just phenomenal. But I'm imagining that when you were doing, you know, the investigating and finding out all about this, being a psychiatrist at that particular point in time, it must have been challenging to find out all this information and be able to implement it. And I'm wondering what that was like for you.
Well, I think psychiatrists are already at the kind of far end of the spectrum as far as medical credibility. So we weren't as closely examined and supervised. Plus, I was in a rehabilitation hospital, and that was – it's a relatively new physician specialty called PM&R, physical medicine rehabilitation. So, again, it wasn't super scrutinized, and I was at an outpatient clinic away from the main hospital. So we sort of had we weren't being closely monitored, if you want to put it that way. And fortunately, there were some occupational therapists and physical therapists who were also interested in these kinds of things, and we kind of coalesced and brought it all together. And because the patients liked it so much, that overrode whatever doubts the other doctors might have. The thing with chronic pain is, you know, if the traditional stuff doesn't work, they're willing to try anything. And if you get results, people are grateful, and the staff would be accepting of it. So we had some credibility issues early on. One of our doctors went into acupuncture, and he got some credentials that were recognized by Harvard and was a forerunner in that. So it took a while, but we eventually did presentations at through the medical school, where we got continuing medical education, which is a kind of a seal of approval type of thing. So it took a while, but, you know, there's one or two people who opened the door, and there was just so much interest rising up in the time that we were sort of in the right place at the right time. And, you know, I'm really glad I was able to be sort of a bridge person and translate esoteric stuff into medical language and vice versa. And that's why that the baseball thing, the Joy of Sox, I particularly enjoyed, because it was a way of getting really out there consciousness study type ideas to mainstream audiences. And, you know, they didn't know what hit them, because they thought it was just some movie about baseball. And, you know, the funny thing, one more thing, the funny thing was that a lot of these conferences I go to, most of the participants are women in psychotherapy, energy psychology, things like that. So, and they go home to their husbands, who are like engineers and computers, and the husbands are saying, oh, what kind of nonsense did you learn this week? You know, that kind of stereotype. So if she said, well, there was this movie about baseball that I think you might like, you know, so it was actually a good Trojan horse in a way to get past some of the resistance. So, yeah, so that's
well, you know, and Rick, we, after we connected with you in Baltimore at the ASAP conference, you know, we came back home and we had to watch The Joy of Sox. And how can people watch that they want to watch that? Because I want to recommend it. It was fabulous.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you. Because Major League Baseball charges such high licensing fees, I no longer sell it because I couldn't afford to renew the license. So it's on YouTube for free. So you just go to YouTube and just put in The Joy of Sox movie, and you go right there, and you can watch it. There's also some excerpts with some of the lab studies of measuring the crowd energy is a 5-minute one, and measuring heart entrainment is another one. So it's out there.
It's a lot of fun. I'm just going to suggest people, it's Joy of Sox, S-O-X. Be careful of your spelling. Okay.
very good point. I mean, I knew I had chosen the right title of the book when my dentist and her hygienist, two women, were big Red Sox fans, and I was telling them about the project that I was working on, and I said, what it's called. So I showed them the business card that said The Joy of Socks, and they both went silent, and they both began to blush. So I knew that the double entendre, was working.
Oh, nice. Well, it was wonderful to see people that kind of we knew, you know, involved in it. Yeah, and it's nice that, you know, once again, we had this lovely connection, because there's so many people in your book that I've had personal encounters with myself. And also in your book, I'm just going to say that you have wondrous, if you like, talking about the history of energy medicine. You deal with people that, you know, I've read a lot of books, but for example, you deal with a fellow by the name of Harold Saxon Burr a little bit, who is at Yale University. You talk about Royal Rife. You talk about Wilhelm Reich. You talk, and actually you go back really far, and you talk about Berard and Beauchamp, who have almost been blackballed in the field of, medicine, because these fellows came up with what could be considered a terrain theory, which one could perceive of as being like the energetic field effect, at the same time that Pasteur came, and Pasteur's thing basically got locked in, and therefore everybody buys ultimately the germ theory. But there was another phenomena. Can you in a couple of minutes talk about them for just a second? Would that be appropriate?
Well, I think it's a really important point, Jonathan, especially with the whole COVID crisis or scenario or whatever you want to call it, because you're right. Our model has been the germ theory of disease, which is that there's some external alien thing that invades us and takes over our system, and the only way to treat it is to fight it off with antibiotics. And it's nothing about the host factors. That's the medical term for it, is the host factors. And that's what these guys did, is they totally flipped it to what's the terrain that allows germs to thrive and prosper, I mean, from the germs' point of view. And it's a different, it suggests a whole different approach to treatment, too, because you do things to strengthen the natural healing abilities of the body. And that's one of the core principles, is that the body has natural ways to heal if we don't get in the way and if we do things to enhance it. And, you know, it can be anything from meditation to humming. I mean, you know, your research has shown the health benefits of getting the body to vibrate with certain frequencies and sounds. And, you know, the way our country dealt with COVID, no one talked about, you know, stress management to enhance your immune system or proper diet. Vitamin D is the best predictor. Your vitamin D level is the best predictor of whether you're going to have a mild or severe case of COVID. And they never did any public health. You should have been giving it out on street corners for, you know, 50 cents a person instead of charging. I don't even know the numbers for how expensive some of these ancillary drugs were. So it was really, Pasteur's, I don't know. It showed the limitations of the germ theory of disease. And, you know, without getting into the whole controversy of what sort of side effects there were from this vaccine that of a whole new technique and technology that,
yes,
there was a lot going on.
Fascinating stuff. And hopefully perhaps the concept of the terrain and the, if you like, field effect will now become more incorporated into, medicine and to science as we begin to understand, like, the work that you have researched so well in your fabulous book, The Mystery of Life Energy.
And we have to go into a very short commercial break, but we will be right back and would love to continue this conversation with you, Rick, because we are right there with you 100%. We'll be right back.
Be right back.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have seven chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration to put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, it is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness. You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of connecting with the energy of the earth? Would you like to be able to tune your mind and your body to this extraordinary healing frequency? Try the Gaia Frequency Tuning Forks, available at HealingSounds.com and at Amazon. Exclusively designed by me, Jonathan Goldman, these tuning forks might just change your life.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret, now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
And we are back. I am Jonathan Goldman.
And I am Andy Goldman, and we are here with our esteemed guest, Dr. Rick Leskovitz. And I would love to get out his website, and that is themysteryoflifeenergy.com. And you can find out lots more about his new book, The Mystery of Life Energy. And we've got a lot more to talk about. Jonathan, I know you had a question that you wanted to ask Rick.
Right. You know, so many things in the book that I've found myself, so I deeply resonated. It's a great book, and I'm going to recommend it to everybody. I just am really, really enthralled with it because it's got so much material. One of the things particularly that was in the book, you talk about not only the phantom limb experience, but this phantom leaf effect in which Kirlian photographs, a leaf, for example, would be cut in half and placed on a Kirlian photography plate, and the entire image of the leaf would turn out. But what was interesting was that, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, not everybody could experience that when they were doing the research, which I think is huge because it really talks about the fact that it's possible for different people engaged in a, quote, scientific experiment to come up with different results if their energy field is engaged in that. Would you speak about that, sir?
Well, Jonathan, I think you hit the nail on the head, and it's taken researchers a long time to come around to that explanation for why some people can get these successful images and other people can't. And just to summarize, Kirlian photography is, you know, is in like the X-Files and a lot of things where it's a way of showing the energy field around people and objects, but you have to have thin objects because it's taken between two plates. It's like a electrical discharge between two plates, and the electricity travels differently depending on what's in there. And so leaves, because they're flat, are easy to study. And there's some very cool images of, you know, maple leaves with the corona, it's called, around the contour of each leaf lobe. But about 40 years ago, some experimenters wanted to know what would happen if we cut off the tip of the leaf and see what would happen. And lo and behold, the corona stayed intact, even though there was no longer a leaf in place. And they had a photographic image of it on a photographic plate. And From my perspective, it was a perfect analog to phantom limb pain. You cut off the limb, but the energy field is still there. You cut off the leaf tip, and the energy field is still there. So those images came out. There was a book that Stan Krippner edited or wrote called The Kirlian Aura, and that the image that you described, Jonathan, is on the cover of it. And it's just that image blows up all of conventional medicine because it proves that the biofield is prior to the physical object. Because, you know, I think people say, okay, there's an aura, but, you know, there's all this electricity in the body and you just sort of emanate out a little bit, sort of like a light bulb, the rays go out. But this is saying that the energy is there even prior to the physical structure. So the best analogy I've come up with is with a magnet and iron filings. You probably did this in seventh grade science or whatever. You know, you put a sheet of paper over the magnet and you sprinkle the iron filings and they line up in this beautiful geometric shape that matches the otherwise invisible magnetic field. If you brush away some of the iron filings, the magnetic field is still there, but you can't see it because the iron filings aren't there. So I think the cells in the body are like iron filings, and they organize according to this invisible biofield, which is the meridians and chakras and so on. And with the leaf, it's the same thing. The leaf should be the easiest thing to study, but this one researcher from 40 years ago, he for a long time was the only one who could do it. And there's a group of electrical engineers and biofield researchers now who are revisiting that whole thing and trying to replicate it. There's some, you know, the best names in the field, and it's very challenging. I've been collaborating with them, trying to do it digitally, but something doesn't get captured through the computer that did get captured in the film. We actually, this will sound weird, but we actually consulted with got some channeled information about how to increase the odds of getting a successful picture. And they said basically what you said, Jonathan, that it's the field, the energy field of the photographer that, and how it interacts with the leaf that sets up the result. And if you just have some dry scientific engineer type who's, you know, it won't set up that resonance that shows. So we're getting some preliminary promising results, but still haven't nailed it. So I think that's the key. My bias is that would be the most important finding you could have would be like a Kirlian photograph of a phantom finger, let's say, of a hand, if somebody's missing a finger. And it's not just glow over the whole hand, but you have a phantom digit. That would be so mind-blowing. We're not there yet, but there are some really good people working on it, so hopefully.
Just in a semi-similar fashion, Masaru Emoto did some fascinating photography working with water, which nobody's been able to duplicate, and therefore make the assumption that his work was fraudulent. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think there's more going on. I think we have a tendency of dismissing that which we can't easily replicate. But when you're dealing with subtle energy, there may be more there than meets the eye.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. And
Well, and when you think about the implications for healing and for pain management, to know about these biofields and the energy fields, that just opens up a whole other door for help, for people that need help desperately.
Totally. I got to get this because in your book you have at least a few pages about the fabulous, I think it was the therapeutic, the fraudulent therapeutic touch research done by when I saw that, can you talk about that for a couple of minutes because it's really cool.
Yeah, it was a sign of the times about how the medical establishment isn't ready to accept biofield stuff. So this, I think it actually was in 1990. It was quite a while ago now, but the most prestigious medical journal around, the Journal of American Medical Association, published a study which seemed to debunk the idea that there's any field in between hands. And it was a very elegant research protocol in which basically nurses were blindfolded and they put their both hands out and they were asked to tell which hand the experimenter was approaching with her biofield. And not surprisingly, they found no correlation. But the most interesting thing was with this research was actually the science fair project of an 11-year-old girl. It was a great science fair project, and, you know, she should have won her science fair, but there were so many flaws in how it was carried out that it should never, never, never have been published in JAMA. But they had a political agenda, and there was a black box warning after the paper where the editor said, this proves that there's no validity to it and should never be used clinically, even though there was no, you know, clinical testing involved. And even though there had been other studies with believers who got very positive correlations, because this little girl's parents were both prominent in the skeptics organization. So you know that she was unconsciously or what biased. And if that's true, then her energy field would be affected. If you don't want it to work, you pull back and they don't feel it. But if you want it to work, you push it forward and they feel it.
Or if you really didn't want it to work, you would focus your consciousness and energy on the hand that wasn't there so the person would guess the wrong hand.
Yeah.
You know, no. It was crazy. I loved the fact that, folks, it's a great book, The Mystery of Life Energy by Dr. Eric Leskowitz, because, there's stuff in it. It's just got a compendium of information that I think is so important for anybody into the alternative fields to be researching. We're going to be taking a break.
And we will be back very shortly. Stay with us. We have more to talk about with Dr. Rick Leskowitz.
And go to themysteryoflifeenergy.com. Okay.
Experience the power of vibroacoustic sound therapy with the new vibro-tuners from me, Jonathan Goldman. When applied to the body, this set of tuning forks creates deeply resonant harmonic frequencies that bring healthy vibrations to your cells. You'll experience a sonic massage that is soothing and healing. Try the vibro-tuners from HealingSounds.com.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, it is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness. You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Hello, this is Jonathan Goldman. I'd like to bring you a few moments of relaxation by offering you this opportunity to listen to some of my music. This is an excerpt of Quiet Space from Celestial Reiki. If you can, just close your eyes and take a nice deep breath as you listen to this music. If you'd like to hear more of my music, please go to Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Music, YouTube, or anywhere else you stream music. Thank you.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
We We are back. It is the Healing Sound Show. It is April 10th. I am Jonathan Goldman.
And I am Andy Goldman. And we are here with Dr. Rick Leskovitz.
And Rick, in this last section, let's talk a little bit about the importance of how the concept of life energy can be applied to living a healthier, better life and making our planet a better thing, i.e. the interconnection of all humans to each other and how perhaps we can affect this. What do you think?
Well, I think that's the ultimate hope, is that as we work and clarify our biofields, we'll have more interactions and interconnections. And, you know, I think a lot of the world's problems now are because of a sense of disconnection, and it's sort of us versus them. And when you're in a fear mode and survival mode, you know, you have things are your enemies and you have to be prepared, but it's not necessary to be in that mode all the time. And as people learn to chill, you know, whether it's meditating or singing or whatever, that will really help facilitate interactions among each other, among human beings. And I think come to that realization that a lot of spiritual traditions talk about, that we're all coming from one source and we're each emanations of the source, but we're also part of the planet. And that's another aspect to it, that in indigenous traditions, the planet, the earth, is considered to be a living being. We don't see it that way in the West. We see it as, you know, well, the West is really primitive. We don't get that everything is alive in that sense. So, you know how you've seen diagrams of acupuncture meridians in people. Veterinarians have acupuncture meridians for their animals, and in the book there's a picture of a horse meridians. But if the Earth is also a living being, then does she have meridians? And there's some really cool work that's been, you know, for the last 100 years or so out of England that talks about earth energies as, it didn't start that way. It started out with a surveyor, maybe 150 years ago, something like that, who just liked to walk in the countryside. And he noticed from hill to hill that each of the sacred sites, whether it was a holy well or a church or a stone circle, they all seemed to be in a line. And he called it the old straight track. And he, you know, he began to map it out. But that was the first step. But it really took off again more in about 50 years ago when people began to get into things like dowsing and seeing what are the energetics at these different points and extending the map. His was just over a couple of miles, but there's a really wonderful diagram, which it's not included in the book because of legalistic reasons, but it's on the website, that it's a map of England with all of these points that we know, like Glastonbury and Stonehenge, and they're all in a line, and it's like, it's called the St. Michael line because of the historical foundation that goes across the whole, and people have doused it and measured it out. And it's really an example of Earth energy, and it needs to be activated and enhanced, because many of the sacred sites, like when we think about stone circles, everybody thinks about Stonehenge, which is the, you know, gigantic stones, but there are a lot of smaller ones throughout that region, and many of them were actually dismantled by the church because it was pagan or whatever. And they, you know, they took the stones and made it into a chapel or something. And, that would deactivate the meridian that was going through that acupuncture point. So there's now a whole process of reactivating, these meridians. And what's cool is, not just that, I mean, my wife is British, so we have a chance to go to England fairly often, and I've, you know, visited these sites in places like Avebury. It's actually spread over a much wider area than Stonehenge, and just remarkable. But the even cooler, I would say, is what's been happening in that area over the last 20 or 30 years in the wheat fields across the street from
crop circles.
Crop circles are just mind-boggling. And, you know, for the listeners who don't know, it's like from one day to the next, these patterns appear in the wheat fields that you can see from above, like a plane flying over or from a hilltop. You see large patterns, like I'm talking about 100 yards across, very complicated geometric shapes made by the wheat falling down in certain places and staying up in others. And so it's the shadows and the contrast. And definitely just look up crop circle, like the Crop Circle Connector is one of the websites that just has a lot of the photographs. They are so beautiful and complicated. And
We are huge crop circle advocates. I have been and seen. And
oh, nice.
But I want to suggest that it is drawing time to conclude this portion of the show. And Rick, your book is The Mystery of Life, energyjug.com. Once again, I keep preaching because it is great. It is wondrous. And thank you for writing it. Any last words of wisdom in the next minute that you would like to give to our audience?
I would just say that I think everything does tie together. And there is a way to unify so many aspects of life that seem unrelated or incoherent even. And it involves shifting your point of view, the paradigm shift that they talk about. And for me, the concept of energy, the experience of energy, has been what allowed me to make these bigger connections. And I think it's happening, you know, even medical schools now or Harvard requires their first year students to take a course in meditation. I mean, it's like things are happening. It's really, really different than 40, 50 years ago. So hopefully there'll be that whole transformation that we talk about as we come to this tipping point. And hopefully it's not too bumpy a road, but we shall see.
Dr. Eric Leskowitz, Rick, thank you so much for your words of profound wisdom, your kindness and compassion that you are generating even through the field that we are creating. Thank you for being.
Rick, well, thank you for joining us today. It has just been a joy.
Well, thank you guys for inviting me. This is really fun and really enjoyable. And it's just, you know, we resonated. So I appreciate that opportunity. So thanks.
Thanks.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have 7 chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Ah, that was a great show. And Andy, what a blessing, huh?
Oh, just delightful. Oh, my gosh.
And next month, on May 8th, we have our guest will be internationally known herbalist, Brigitte Mars, and her musical partner, Bethy Lovelight. So it's going to be a great show, folks. Tune in then and like, keep lots of love and light and sound in your lives. See you then. Bye-bye now.